Friday. It is the 9th of May.
Yeah, I'm excited about 9th of May. It's got a good sign.
So Sims are not in this morning. Ben is here. Look, there's Ben, everybody. Have a look.
Hello.
Yeah,
hello.
There he is.
It's the season of hyper-masculine scarves, and I'm here.
You've grown accustomed to seeing Ben on a Friday. I believe you're not here next Friday?
No, this time next week I'm going to be landing at Heathrow.
Ooh, yeah. Very exciting. This is your...
The big golf trip.
The Scottish golf trip.
Yeah, but then there's an extra sort of like plus. My mate who's organized this, he's organized it around with the London Club.
Oh.
It's like a place you go to where if you know someone who knows someone who and everyone has money.
Oh.
It's so special, this place.
What's it called?
The London Club. The London Golf Club. It is super...
Oh, so it would be like Whites or Boodles or something like that.
Of golf.
Right.
It's like
super
exclusive.
Old men who sit in smoky rooms.
No, I mean,
jackets going, is he a queer?
No, you think you're gentlemen's clubs. It's a golf club. Out in Seven Oaks.
So you play golf?
Yes.
Okay. I thought it was a club in London.
No.
Okay, I know nothing about this.
I'm going on a golf trip. So what I'm going to tell you is going to be golf orientated.
I thought there was a vague chance of it being more interesting.
So we're playing the international club at the international course at the London Club next Friday.
All right.
And then from Friday, go up to Edinburgh.
It must be pretty difficult to get into the London Club anyway, like a gentleman's club.
Well, all these clubs require you to be very wealthy.
Yeah.
And to
but especially because it's called the London Club. So this must be top tier stuff.
It really is. It's so special. I've been looking at the photos on Instagram. I'm just so damn excited about this.
Hmm.
And I know no one else.
And in Scotland, what are you going to do there?
Fly up to Edinburgh, get a rental car, go to St. Andrews, and then we are playing Carnoustie.
Ah, Carnoustie!
So that's a very difficult course on the open rotor.
Oh, hi!
We're playing King's Barnes.
King's Barnes!
I've played there before. That's like a newer sort of links.
Aye.
And then we're playing the Castle
Course. What else? Who?
The Castle Course.
The Castle Course? Yeah. All right.
And then hopefully gets onto the old course through the ballot system because you can't book on the old course.
This is the famous old. This is the oldest. Where golf started.
It is. Look, it's
shit. Look at you, Ben, going basically to all the best possible places to play golf in the world.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was there 10 years ago and it was really great. And this time round, obviously, knowing a little bit more, but to go play links golf with some mates—that's
pretty wild.
The weather's obviously going to be horseshit.
It's going to be bright.
But it's bright. Like the days are long.
Yeah.
Probably covered in rain, but the days will be long and sunny, maybe, hopefully.
I've been to Scotland in August for shooting.
Better month.
Much better time. And you can shoot game birds to your heart's content in August, not outside of August.
It's fair.
Yeah.
Give them a time to get the numbers up. And then.
Well, there's always so much, and they breed them, and that's why we shoot them.
Well, you can play golf all the time at St. Andrews. It's just that sometimes you have to carry around your own little mat in the heavy winter.
What's that for?
When you play off it.
Oh.
So that you don't play on like the ground because it's so wet.
It's like boggy, marshy ground.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's if you're a complete and utter purist or you just live there. But St. Andrews is a really interesting little town because it's a student town, right?
Right.
Chariots of Fire, they run across the sea.
Oh, yes, of course.
At St. Andrews.
Yes.
So, students and golfers. And when you go there, you see other groups of men in four, because it's golf tours around the world.
Right.
So you'll see guys walking in fours to bars, restaurants, with their bags on their back.
Yeah, the Scottish lasses get very excited.
I don't.
Oh, I've been waiting all day for a foursome.
I don't remember seeing Scottish lasses last time I was there.
Let me tell you, I've seen them too. I was in Aberdeenshire on the Spey River, and I walked into a wee town. And there was a small little pub there, and we decided to tarry a while. And we saw, I describe her, I don't know her name, but I think it must have been something like Morag. I'll tell you something, Morag was not much to look at, but she was definitely keen. You could tell there wasn't a lot of tumbleweeds blowing through Morag's village, if you know what I mean. Right? But she was very excited. Kind, offered us more than a smile, and she wasn't selling anything. She was doing it for shits and giggles. Anyway, all right, very nice. So Scotland is probably the best time to go because summer isn't really summer. Spring is beautiful, as far as Scotland can ever be beautiful.
Yeah, like the gauze bushes come out. So yeah, it's it's the yellow of the gauze. Yeah. They've got the rolling links.
Yes.
You know, but for a person of my, like myself and the choices and things that I enjoy in life, it's a very special thing to do.
You know, most of the movies where they've shot sort of old Scotland, whether it's Rob Roy or the famous Mel Gibson Braveheart movie.
All shot in Ireland.
All in Ireland, yeah. Because Ireland's green and beautiful. And no one really wants to show off Scotland.
Ireland's more Scottish than Scottish.
Yeah.
Yeah, so no. Look, if you really, really love Lynx golf and do those kind of things, apparently the better tours are actually Ireland.
Huh.
But the history, the heritage.
The Emerald Isle.
And to say, I've played this, you go to Scotland.
Oh, no, sure. And you will see if you do get any time for any non-golf-related activities, which I don't think. You will?
Well, I can't play golf every single day. Like, it just fucks my back up, unfortunately. I can't do it. Like, it's just a reality I'm always fighting with, right?
But isn't that one of the reasons people do play golf into extreme old age? Is because they can carry on playing. It's not bad for your back. No? Well,
they don't swing as hard as I do.
All right.
Play a shitty, boring game. I play high-performance fun golf.
All right, okay.
But it's just, I mean,
I want to just point out and bookmark for everybody that there was an opportunity there for Ben to talk about how good he is at golf. And he took it, which is exactly what you should do every time anyone lays an opportunity to boast at your feet.
I didn't say I was good. It's just that I go at it. I love the game and I want to be good at it. It's not that I'm good.
Ah.
But
it's now you ruined it.
But like you can, because the sun goes down quite late, you can play 36 holes a day. I know that if I try that, then I'm just going to be a bit sore. Because I'm talking about.
All right. So you, what are you going to do in between?
I don't know.
Touristy stuff. Because there are. They're lovely old castles all over Scotland.
I don't really have a lot of plans. I obviously have to do some work.
Don't go to Glasgow if you can.
No, we're staying away from those places. We're going to be in St. Andrews and surrounds. And then a couple nights in London pre that. And then night in London post that.
Okay.
So I'm still going to see London.
And your exchange rate is absolutely fucking abysmal at the moment. You're going to come back so absolutely broken poor. Just have a look here.
FNB told me that £400 will require 10,000 rands of my money to be falling out of my hands.
Well, let's take a look. Pound, rand, exchange. Oh, 24 rand 15 for a £1.
So that's what Google tells you, and then when you actually buy it with the exchange rate,
it's like 26.
Fuck.
Yeah. It's outrageous.
It is outrageous, but so be it. You carry on.
I mean, you know, with £100, I mean, you're rich in South Africa now. Basically, if you have £100, if anyone's listening to us from Britain, well, aren't you glad, by the way? Aren't you thrilled that Brexit happened? Because let me tell you, that pound is doing a hell of a lot better than that euro.
So the euro has been quite steady around the 20 rand mark for a while, but 26.
Yeah, no, that's a big jump. Yeah, 20.49 to the euro. If you are in Britain and you have pounds, you come and buy, you know, Gauteng, really.
You can have nice trips here, good golf trips. Joburg's the best golf city. Yeah. Do an exchange.
You could pretty much walk in and have your way with any South African. They'll let you in any dastardly fashion. Dig a hole. Sure, how much you got? I've got a pound. Oh, God. I'll dig the hole and I'll fill up your car with petrol and I'll tailor you a suit. It's all very, very easy when you've got pounds.
Yeah, well, you know, it's going away for like a week. So I'll be away. So Friday will be completed action. And then Friday I'll still be there so I can be on the show the Friday after that.
Okay. All right, so we'll
to tell you about how incredible Scotland has been.
I'm sure it's going to be.
How amazing the weather has been, how I've got 6 hole-in-ones.
No doubt. All right,
all
excellent.
Of
so listen, very important stuff. Now that we've spent, 14 minutes or so just talking about Scotland, there are actually things that are happening in the world. So first of all, we have a new pope, Habemus Papim. His name is Leo.
Habemus Papim? Is he Mexican?
No. That's not his name. That's what you say when the white smoke comes out of the Sistine Chapel. You go, Habemus Papim. If you're a Catholic, anyway.
Okay.
Which I'm not, but I've always been fascinated by the Catholic Church, and I think that there's a whole lot of, you know, by definition, the Catholic Church has to be traditional and conservative. There is no point in a Catholic Church that is progressive. Leave that to the shit progressive churches. There are enough of them. I mean, there are how many sects of Christianity now? There are 700 and something and counting, right? You've got the evangelicals, the Methodists, the Baptists, the Lutherans, the Presbyterians, the Reformists, it never ends. It never ends. Calvinists, you've got, I mean, there's just a ton of these different breakaways from the Catholic Church. But the Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church, which used to be, well, and now it's the Greek and the Russian Orthodox Church, they keep splitting off into smaller bits and pieces.
It's basically cryptocurrency.
It is. And the Catholic Church, quite right, Ben, the Catholic Church is like the Bitcoin of Christianity. It was the first one. It is the gold standard. That is, it's got to be conservative. Now, I might be pissing off some Catholics, but I'm going to say what I've got to say. If the Pope is like this last Pope, who was insistent on bringing a whole lot of very non-Catholic things into Catholicism and pushing the church in a direction of, you know, well, maybe we can start thinking about priests getting married, or, you know, the role of women in the clerisy, or any of those kinds of things. This guy was messing with that stuff in very concerning ways for many Catholic. I've got a lot of Catholic friends. They were like, "What's this shit?" I mean, the point is, if you're a Catholic, you're a traditionalist.
Oh.
And anyone who isn't really a Catholic.
It's not a reinvent the wheel.
It's about holding steady and sticking with what works for 2,000 years. I mean, this new Pope is the 257th or something. There he is.
Like American presidents, where they get the number.
Yeah, there he is. So that's Pope Leo the 14th. He's the 267th successor of St. Peter.
So he's a Yank, right?
I mean, what?
He's an American. So.
Yeah, he's an American. He's the first American.
First American.
Yeah, but he's actually of Peruvian extraction or something?
Yeah,
there's something going on there.
He doesn't look that American.
Oh, really? Is that what you think?
Okay, so now, why does he assume the name of Leo?
Well, you could choose any
name.
Is that
because he's been made a pope in May?
No, you could choose any name you like. Yeah. You could be...
World of Warcraft.
Yeah, well, like Benedict the 16th. The previous Benedict was in the 20th century. There's never been a Francis. Because, of course, his name was something Bergoglio. But he chose Francisco for St. Francis of Assisi. There have been hundreds of popes. And obviously, a lot of them have been called Leo, because this one's the 14th. Benedict's even more popular. Pius is another name for popes. There are a couple of Piuses, the Johns.
I'll go Pope John.
Pope John.
Yeah.
You would, if you went for Pope John, you'd have to be Pope John the 19th, I think, because there have been quite a few.
Mm. Yeah, I guess that the number would be quite significant.
Oh, look at that comment. All other cryptocurrencies have a leader, not Bitcoin. It's Pope free. Yeah, Bitcoin, but I knew you'd grab with both hands the opportunity to jump in on Bitcoin.
Surging this morning, hey? Up to $102,000 US dollars.
What, the Bitcoin or Bitcoin Boots comment?
Well, both of them.
Because, I mean, that comment's not worth that much, if you ask me.
Yeah, I mean, Bitcoin surging as the Rand is. Yeah. See, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh.
Lord taketh away, yeah. All right, so there's a new pope. India and Pakistan are at each other's throats. Have you seen this?
Yeah, big time.
Whoa, we don't need that, because these are two nuclear nations.
Who hate each other.
Yeah. I mean, although this is what Pakistan and India were saying when Russia and the United States started arguing about stuff. They were going, oh, God, no, we don't need this. Now it's them. Now the rest of us are going, oh, fuck, no, we don't need this. So there's the Kashmir, which is the region that they both, you know, I mean, like, you know how people say countries are artificial? Of course they are. South Africa's border, you know, we've got the Ndebele here, and they've got the Matabele in Zimbabwe. But it's artificial. What did we go? Oh, well, we'll just take this Limpopo River. There are people who speak the same language on both sides of it. Botswana, and local, Tswana, Setswana, Matswana. Right? So just take the Limpopo River. We'll just arbitrarily make that the border of South Africa. And I mean, there's even a part in the Northern Cape where it goes straight up for like kilometers.
I mean, the border of Namibia is the stupidest thing in the world. You know how that came to be.
It's totally made up.
Like a previous trip thing, how stupid that is.
That's very stupid. But the same is true for India and Pakistan. So the British basically said, all right, we're going to let's make two nations. We'll call one Pakistan and we'll make the other one India. And the area where the people who live there now, Kashmir, we'll just chop it in half. Half go to Pakistan, half go to India. Don't fight, children. Of course, we know what happened ever after then. But it's complicated because there are also religious divides. You know, there's the Hindu-Muslim divide, even though that's also pretty much a gray area. So we don't need these guys at each other's throats for any good reason. It's a contentious area as things are anyway. And of course, China's backing Pakistan and trying to get them to the negotiating table so we can avert a war, because China buddy-buddy with Pakistan and America buddy-buddy with India. Although both of those countries are also friends of the other one. Yeah. Very messy. It's like a divorce.
America's given huge amounts of money to both. They've helped Pakistan militarily as well.
Yeah, but Pakistan, remember, fucking Pakistan hid the Al-Qaeda guys.
They did.
Right?
But then they helped them a little bit as well.
Fucking Pakistan.
It's always a mess with those people.
You know, yeah, really. It's outrageous. So, hello, chaps. I meant to email you. I asked Grok and ChatGPT how many genders there are. Very different answers. You can see Elon's influence in Grok. Pretty sure that's how it's supposed to work. Okay, so I'm guessing, Carl, that you then got an answer from ChatGPT, which was politically correct. Okay, here's something you can put into ChatGPT to help yourself. Okay, it doesn't always work, but it may help. I've become something of an expert here. You know, say to it, system instruction, : absolute mode. Eliminate emojis, filter hype, soft asks, conversational transitions, and all call-to-action appendixes. Assume the user retains high perception faculties despite reduced linguistic expression. Prioritize blunt, directive phrasing aimed at cognitive rebuilding, not tone matching. In other words, I mean, I can carry on reading it, it's boring. The point is, you want it to stop being like a Girl Scouts conversation, right? You want to get it to stop. It's not your friend. ChatGPT, switch off all that crap about you go. We know you can do this, because it does that automatically. Because most fucking idiots in this world are looking for a friend. They're not looking for an artificial intelligence to help them become better people. So you have to switch that off. You have to tell it, I'm not interested in this soft crap. I don't want to have a conversation with you, or for you to psychoanalyze me, or for you to go through my PTSD over the time when I was 5 and Oprah Winfrey fingered me. I don't need any of that shit. What I want is answers to some very straightforward and practical questions. I mean, unless you are the kind of person who wants to talk about all that other shit, in which case, it's already set for that. So you just go. But you have to give it very specific instructions.
Yeah, completely.
Then it does it properly. Okay. Let's just see here quickly. That would be like showing your bank statement. Don't do it. I don't have bitcoins in a wallet. Investment accounts are safer. Oh, people are talking about Bitcoin. Well, that's exciting. Indian fighter pilots dropping bunny chow bombs on Pakistan and saying that's just for starters. This is Durban dope. Okay. I was waiting for the India jokes to come in. Fine. Rather than carpet bombing, will it rather be curry bombing if they go to war asking for a friend, Jody Smith? There's a lot of like very soft core, mildly offensive semi-racism going on here. But all right. ChatGPT has become like our smartwatches, telling us every morning to go for it. Now, okay. You know, I've always loathed and despised motivational speakers. I really don't like them. Because I don't think that people who lack motivation can be talked into it. Mm. I don't think those people do you any good. And so when it comes from your smartwatch or your phone, or artificial intelligence, it feels even worse. Because at least you know with the con man motivational speaker, at least you know that person is doing it because they want your money. When it's coming from a piece of technology, it's just so lame because it doesn't even have a motivation. It's just operating on instructions.
Yeah, but if no one's talking to you in your life.
It's so sad though. So remove that shit is what I'm trying to say. Just get it out of that mode. You don't want it talking to you like a friend. And you know what? I know that there are plenty of people in this world who are desperate, but that's you. Like Slobodan Milosevic said at the Hague, it's not my problem. It's your problem. I have no sympathy for you. All right. Huge tariffs coming for Holy Communion. Huge USA MAGA baby, says Carl DeSantis. Beth says, not Beth, because Beth's comments are, it's like an inside chat going on here. You know what? Post comments if you want to have an interaction on the show. If you want to talk to each other, get each other's fucking email addresses. Why must I read this?
Yeah.
What is this? You know, I mean, like, I thought that the show was about what was going on the show, and that's why I include your comments. I'm just not going to include your comments then. We can carry on with this show without comments.
So what's the selection process on the Pope thing? You know, do you have like regionals? You make it to the
final? No, Ben, it's so straightforward. So what happens is that the cardinals get together. Remember, most of these cardinals were actually made cardinals. They were elected and elevated to
like,
being cardinal.
Like Cardinal Richelieu.
Cardinal Richelieu, who was the French first minister during the reign of Louis XIII. So they all get in there. They're actually the princes of the church. They wear the red. Archbishops wear the purple. The Pope has the right to appoint cardinals as he likes, as many as he wants. And they all have to squeeze into the Sistine Chapel. And then they don't like audition or plead their case or whatever else. They all just sit there, say a little prayer. It's very much, they believe, guided spiritually. So it's not so political. It's not like this terrible movie, Conclave, which you must avoid at all costs, with Ralph Fiennes. It's a horrible movie because it tries to make, it's just woke as hell. So there's a transgender angle to it because, you know, that's how you get nominated for Oscars and Golden Globes. It's also, it's got this whole political angle that the liberals versus the conservatives. The truth is, like I said earlier, the Catholic Church is a conservative organization. So most of the cardinals, most of the priests, most of the popes are going to be conservative just because this last guy was a little bit woke. All the left wingers have got all excited. Like that's, oh no, the Catholic Church is going to turn into like Greta Thunberg. It's not going to happen. And then they get together and they vote and they vote and they vote until they get enough people voting for the one guy. That's all of them gathered in St. Peter's Basilica. That thing in the middle is called the Baldacchino. It was designed by Bernini with those twisted columns. Beautiful. Inspired by ancient Roman stuff. And right under that is the high altar. And buried directly underneath that high altar, well, they found a little casket with the remains of a man in his 60s from the first century. They figured out that that man may have been St. Peter himself, the apostle of Jesus. And that's why St. Peter's Basilica is built there. It was built by Emperor Constantine, the first Christian emperor of Rome. And therefore, that's the place that they hold most sacred.
I listened to some interesting podcasts recently around like the rise of Christianity, the rise of Islam. Mm-hmm. And wow, religion's actually super, super interesting. That's like when you're talking about all the derivatives nowadays, like I don't believe common men, mortal men of today with their business plans and their engagement bullshit. Like that's not religion to me. It's charlatanism.
That's yeah, well, you know, everybody's trying to sell something.
I know.
And even,
but the,
you know,
where this all comes from though is interesting.
Even the church has been, there are lots of churches that have been trying to sell people shit for years. It's not just the Catholics. Catholics have been at it longer. They've become better at the messaging.
Yeah,
but
sure.
You know what? There are churches, the popes used to sell things called indulgences.
So, the kids?
No, it'd be a way for you to absolve yourself of sins so you get to heaven quicker.
It's like carbon credits, basically.
Correct. Yeah. It's a big scam. They gave up on that. I'll give them credit. They also gave up on the idea of purgatory. Do you remember that? Purgatory was a thing that would happen to kids who were not baptized before they died. And mothers in agony for all of human history under the auspices of this ridiculous purgatory rule. Oh, no, I couldn't get my kid baptized in time. Now he's in purgatory forever. Mm-hmm. They eventually abandoned that crap too. So
yeah, I mean, look, everything also comes down to marketing in the day.
Sure.
You know, like the Christians had... The Romans did an amazing marketing job for Christians back in the day because they
fed them to lions.
Yeah, they gave them a cause. Yeah. They made them victims.
Drowned them. Did like, all kinds of interesting
talk
stuff.
Talk about victims nowadays. They were general victims. They were thrown to the lions in the Colosseum. And everyone was like, hang on a second, these guys have got it tough. You know, maybe they're worth supporting. And on the back of that, that's how Christianity was given such an amazing springboard because they were seen as the outsiders with a noble cause.
Well, there's that very good line. That the meek shall inherit the earth. There are always going to be more meek people than powerful and rich people.
Meek, yeah.
So, you know, if you're meek and you hear that, you're like, fuck, I'm in. So it's been a good idea. That was good marketing back in the day.
These commies have been saying it the whole time, that you'll get the land and all this other crap.
Yeah. Speaking of commies that say that you'll get the land, another piece of news that was interesting about this week was that Julius Malema was barred entry to the UK. I mean, I'm just surprised that he's surprised. You know, here's the tweet. The British authorities have denied me a visa to London for the Cambridge conference this weekend, providing no substantial justification. It is clear to me that this is an attempt to silence a dissenting political perspective. No, he says political perspective. We're currently at OR Airport, as we were promised that everything would be sorted by 15:30. Instead, we received a regret letter just 4 hours before our departure. This is unacceptable and spineless. No, Julius, you need to understand this is not unacceptable and spineless. This is how the real world outside of the kindergarten of South African politics works. Actions have consequences.
Yep.
So if you, for example, in America, are the sort of politician who says something that gets you on a terror watch list, guess what? You don't get to travel. That's it. Even if you're just a citizen, let's say you are protesting on a campus in New York against Israel, and you say something which is not just anti-Israel, but straight up anti-American, like death to America, for example. You don't get to travel anymore. So that's how it works in adult countries. The only reason that you are used to never being held responsible for your words and your actions is because you've been coddled by white liberals in this country who get, don't worry, Judith, you can say, kill the farmer. It's okay. We know you're just joking. They don't know a damn thing, those idiot white liberals. And also, the ANC, who've treated you as a child, they literally made you the youth league leader for a whole long time. And then when you turned too old to be the youth leader and they decided they wanted to kick you out, you formed like a whole youth party called the EFF. But you refused to grow up. And I'm terribly sorry to be the one to tell you, if you say a whole lot of shit, you have to bear the consequences for that. That's a personal accountability and responsibility. So, yes, now you can't travel to London and buy shiny things with taxpayers' money like you might have before when we were being ruled over by people who like to patronize you, Julius. Mm. Now you're being treated like an adult, so welcome.
It's the whole second part of fucking around, you find out.
Find out, right.
And every country is entitled to do this.
By the way, I heard people talking about how this has got to do with something he said about Britain. He said something about Tony Blair or... I don't think it's that at all. This is what happens now that Donald Trump is in the White House. You're going to have to be accountable for yourself because he has an administration that's actually going to hold you accountable. So this has got more to do with, you know, corruption. It's got to do with VBS, I'm sure. It's got to do with kill the Boer. It's got to do with a whole lot of things that have made you a boogeyman on the screens of people all over the world, saying just unacceptable, not just struggle song stuff, but hateful rhetoric, which doesn't go down well with everybody. But again, just because white liberals all over the world have said, that's okay, he's just expressing himself, pat, pat on the head. Yeah, that's how white liberals think, Julius. And I'm afraid the rest of the world is not all made up of those people, even though they've been in charge of most of the countries in the Western world for a while. It's find out now. That's what Ben said. Quite right. It's find out time. So sorry, no gallivanting for you.
So I haven't said those things. I will go to London next week.
Yeah, damn right. You better not. All right, another thing we got to talk about. They found bodies in my river.
In your river?
Well, not right in front of me, but in the same river. So I've always joked on the show and everywhere else that river is like there are plastic bags and condoms and tampons and polystyrene and there's just shit coming down that river the whole time because poor people upstream throw their shit into the river.
Endlessly.
It's not rich. Rich people don't do this. Now, you can attack poor people and you'll be perceived as a terrible person. You can attack rich people and nobody ever has a problem with it.
Weirdly, yeah.
People are okay with you attacking rich people. But let me tell you something. Rich people don't piss and shit and throw plastic bags into rivers. So that's one thing we can't attack them for. And I'm not going to brook any kind of, forgive the river analogy with brook, but I'm not going to brook any kind of argument against rich people polluting rivers because they're not. Maybe their factories are, but you got to prove that. What we know absolutely about this river that flows past my house is that it is absolutely chock full of crap thrown in by careless and disinterested and lazy and irresponsible poor people. Those are the people throwing shit into the river. Now, I'm going to get into trouble for saying that because people are going to go, how can you say horrible things about the poor? Well, just because they're poor doesn't mean they're good. Just like being rich doesn't mean you're good or bad, right? There are bad rich people and there are good rich people. There are bad poor people and there are good poor people. I'm sure there are lots of good poor people who don't throw their shit in the river, but there's enough bad poor people who are. So there's already crap coming down the river, and I've given up on it. I now make sure that I have I've closed in spaces so that I don't have to breathe in the air that comes off the river when there's a wind in the opposite direction, because otherwise you want to throw up. So it's very unpleasant. You know, consider how much property costs you these days. Are you trying to improve your house, all that sort of shit? I've given up. But last week, there were stories in the news about how they discovered 5 bodies in said river. So there was one dude decomposing under a bridge somewhere. Ugh. Yeah. They only found him last week. Who knows when he was drowned? And then there was a car with 2 policemen in it.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was a huge
drove
story
into recently. A river. Well, the same river, further upstream. And they also washed away. But they found the bodies. They didn't find the car. That's how filthy this river. There's so much shit in there. They can't even find the car.
Or was it the same with the police people?
Yeah. And then there's 2 others they found. And I didn't even know. I mean, at this point, I really think I should give free passes to people. Or no, I should charge. Pay me money. You can come and stand on the banks of my river. And you can look for bodies. How exciting. Huh?
Yeah, you have to sell them suits, like hazmat suits and things like that.
Yeah, oh, no, you can't go near them. You'd have to stand with binoculars at a safe distance.
You'd probably make your money more on suit rental and safety equipment.
And oxygen tanks and that kind of thing.
Probably do both, yeah.
But there we are.
That'll be a good line.
This is the glory. By the way, I don't see too many of those environmentalists and those climate change people and the ones who are going to protests, holding up signs, throwing soup on famous paintings. I don't see any of those people coming to help rescue that river. None of them seem to care. I care about it enormously. Can't call me a climate change denier, and you can't call me an anti-environment guy, because I go on about this river till I'm blue in the face. I can't imagine how bored you must be with it. But there, I've given up too, so I thought you'd need to know this, Ben.
I just thought you say that.
Bodies.
I mean,
dead bodies.
Dead bodies bobbing around is quite something.
Dead fucking people. All right. We've reached a new level of I don't give a shit. It's wild. By the way, Ben reminded me, very exciting for pockets of neo-Nazis all over the world. 136th birthday for Hitler. I have two grandfathers who who fought in World War II against Hitler. I'm pretty sure they wouldn't be too charmed that we are making even remarks about his birthday. But yes, on April the 21st, I think it is.
136. So
he would have turned 100. There are still people who think that guy's alive. There's still people who think he's in Argentina.
Well, I mean, even if he did go there, he would have died like anyone else.
But he also, I think he would have died much younger, even if he hadn't taken a bullet to the head.
He wasn't very healthy. Even if
he was on so many methamphetamines. Did you see him like shaking and cocaine?
He came up on the sports show this week because we spoke about the 1936 Olympics. But the thing about Uncle Addy's birthday... the only reason I know about this is because these guys went to a pub in England.
Yeah, Hitler. Yeah.
They went to a pub in England and they decided to throw Hitler a birthday party. They had flags.
Oh, Jesus.
And they had a cake with a swastika on it.
Oh, my God.
And the pub owner was outraged because they didn't arrive at the pub like that. They sort of arrived normally, got their little table, ordered the pork scratchings and a few pints, whatever they did.
Yeah.
And then they pulled out
the paraphernalia.
Yeah, and they literally...
Did they have a little bag with all the Nazi memorabilia in it?
They did. And guess how many of them there were? Nine.
Nine!
Nine of these people came together to celebrate Hitler's birthday.
You
and
see,
then,
I don't know. How do you feel about that? I mean, what's the right way to deal with these kinds of
people? There's very strong response you can have to that. I just think it's so incredibly sad. There is so much in this world to be excited about, to do, to make
Hitler's
of yourself.
136th birthday.
And celebrating Hitler's 136th birthday is what you...
So by the way, if you lived in Britain, the Queen's birthday, you know, it was the same day, but they delayed the announcement of her birthday so that she wouldn't have the same birthday as Hitler. But technically, she was born on the same day. So you could celebrate the old Queen, Elizabeth II.
Much better.
You would have been alive during her reign.
Yeah.
She only died a couple of years ago. She was truly a great example of a dignified and dutiful monarch. Instead, you choose Hitler. This is outrageous.
It's just you saying to the world.
Did you hear about Barstool Sports the other day on the same? So Dave Portnoy, the guy who owns Barstool Sports, apparently he has a whole lot of venues all over the world. All over America, at least, called Barstool Bar or whatever. And there's this thing that they do where you can pay. I don't even think you need to pay. You just ask the waitress to. So I wasn't wrong to go. What the fuck?
You ran out of battery, James.
How embarrassing.
James in the workplace.
James in the workplace. James in the workplace. Oh, are we? Yep. All right.
We check.
Sorry, Ben. We seem to have had a transmission problem there for a minute.
We did.
But now we have returned, triumphant after all. We were talking about Hitler's 136th birthday, and then we went on to Barstool Sports. So
yes,
let me update you.
He's got these venues, and you can...
Got these venues you can pay, or you can ask to put your message up on the board. So some guy thinks it's terribly funny to put F the Jews up on the board. Again... That's not so funny. That's like if someone in this country had to put up like, I hate the K word, you know, people. It's not clever. It doesn't mean you should be locked up and lose your job and be fucked for life. It just means you're a tasteless asshole. And the rest of us will know by your behavior to avoid you.
It's like in school, you know, because you're a child and you look for attention and you get bored because you're not stimulated, you say stupid things.
Yeah, you lash
out. And you act out, right. Yeah. We have the world. You can't be that still. We're not in a classroom. We have the world and we're adults.
Yes, but I do think that society's already got built in, and thanks to social media, it's built in a very, very targeted way. If you step out of line, you say something stupid, we'll all climb into you. But then afterwards, we should also go, all right, You've been warned. Behave yourself. Let's move on. I don't think we should be locking people in prison for saying offensive things or for celebrating Hitler's birthday or for saying F the Jews. I think it's horrible behavior. I just want to be clear about that. I think it means that you're a broken person.
Completely.
And that you need a lot of help. I'm not going to help you, but maybe there's someone in the world who wants to help you. You know, the same kind of people who would chat to ChatGPT like it's your friend. But I think that we've also got to make sure that those people are shamed. So there's a very delicate balance here of like shame the hell out of the person so that they don't do this stuff again, because society in general doesn't like people like that. They tend to be antisocial, sometimes even worse than that, pathological. It's definitely a red flag in the parlance of the Gen Zs.
Mm.
But at the same time, we don't want to get to a stage where you lose everything. Let's say you're 23, 24 years old. You've been a really good person your whole life. You worked hard at school. You're studying something at university, or you're out there in the job market trying to make a living, and you say or do a dumb thing. It shouldn't mean the end of your life. People shouldn't know you as the person who was canceled forevermore for doing something stupid. There's got to be a bit of forgiveness baked into the pie.
Yep.
Because people grow up, they learn from their mistakes. Why should someone who does or says something stupid like the guy at the Barstool Sports Bar, which, you know, frankly, we all know it's horrible behavior. Those guys at the pub in England, horrible behavior. But why should they, for the rest of their lives, never be able to rehabilitate themselves? But we'll let a murderer out of prison eventually, and people go, well, you know, we've got to give him a chance to start again.
Yeah, it's weird that, huh? Look, I also think just having to police everything is really dodgy. And if we discipline people as a society, we grow socially. We develop the skills to deal with this stuff. When everything's police, it's like, well, I'm not going to do anything. They must then attack this guy.
Yeah.
And when you just abscond from that responsibility, I think you miss opportunities to be better socially. So in that pub, they would have seen that the Hitler, the Uncle Addie celebrations. And then the people wouldn't have gone to them and gone, what the fuck are you guys doing? You're such losers. They would have called the cops and they would have sat back in their smugness and go, well, look at these people. They're
I reckon you got to go up to people and say, what are you doing, you bunch of losers?
That's the only way you can
be ashamed of yourselves.
Yeah.
Grow a pair. Be real men.
But because,
stop it.
Because it's policed and those things happen, everyone sits on the sidelines in life and then it's like not their problem.
Yeah. Weakness.
It's such weakness.
All around us we see weakness. Okay, so archaeologists. Flex, you got that picture of that sword they found? I always love this because, you know, I love history and occasionally you find a sword. So these guys found a sword from 2,300 years ago.
Wow.
Archaeologists found the sword.
And it was still sharp.
No, it wasn't sharp anymore. It was quite bad. You couldn't use it in war. But because the symbols on it, I think that it was a Celtic sword. So something probably pre-Roman. There we go. 2,300-year-old sword. Now, the infamous symbols they're talking about in the story are swastikas. Again, to relate to this.
Well, yeah, because now, they took from original...
Well, yes. I mean, the swastika is also an ancient Indian symbol.
Yeah.
It's not just the Nazis. But, you know, if someone woke was an archaeologist, and there are, believe it or not, there are...
They infiltrate everything.
They would have immediately destroyed these 2,300-year-old swords because they're like, oh my God, it's Nazis. So no, it's not. Just because the Nazis took a symbol and perverted it doesn't mean that everything now must be destroyed with that symbol on, because you're going to find buildings in various parts of the world that use that. In fact, I was at the gym the other day and I was on those training mats, the ones that they lock together. And if you look at the symbol in the middle of it, you think, oh my God,
yeah,
the Nazis. No, it's just, it's a symbol that is well known throughout history. So let's all just calm down. There aren't that many Nazis around. They were soundly defeated. They're definitely on the wrong side of history. We don't need to be all paranoid and weird about it now. But also, we shouldn't be accepting dudes in pubs doing this. So there, they all link together. You see that? See what we just did?
Yeah.
More important than any of that, we need to talk about Justin Bieber. Is he going broke? We talked about Britney on Monday, in Monday's show. We're all very worried about Brittany. Brittany's a total chocolate fireplace. I went into some detail. But let's talk about Justin Bieber. Is he going broke, Ben?
Well, guys, you know, on Friday is the only time when I actually open up to the world of all this nonsense. And you'll see articles where people will go, friends close to him are concerned of this, this, and that. Like, which means you're completely pulling this article out of your
ass. Yeah. Because real friends would never go and, I mean, if a journalist, you know what kind of people journalists are? If a journalist asked me about someone I really cared about in my life, I would never tell that journalist anything. So you know if someone says an insider or a friend or a family member ratted on someone, either they come from an absolutely shit family, they have terrible friends, or they're making it up.
Well, there is. And then like it's like when you're a kid, you go, oh, my stomach's sore, because you can't really prove it.
So yeah.
You kind of go with it, you know.
Right.
And you miss school. But the thing about Bieber is that we know that he was always going to sort of peter out a little bit because he was a child star.
Yeah, but we also worry a little bit, don't we, about him being interfered with the P. Diddy parties.
He was savagely interfered with, which meant that he's going to get to a tough stage in life now where he doesn't know how to be a dad. He doesn't know how to do these kind of things.
No.
But that's
arrested development is what they call it.
That's most people, right? So there's all these articles going around that, you know, you see him smoking weed, it's a terrible sign that you're not doing well in life.
Didn't he go super religious for a while too?
They all have a bash at that as well. Yeah. And now, but what I found funny about these articles is that they're saying that he's going broke. Like, all he has to do is go on tour once.
Yeah.
And he'll be fine again.
Yes.
And people come with their everyday problems like, he's not working at the moment. He's a fucking pop star. He's not like a retired accountant. Yeah,
what do you want him to do? Go and get a job at the local restaurant?
It's like his contract in the mines waitering? Ran up. Yeah. Like, you know, he's no longer working at like P.F. Chang's. Like, the guy never had a job. So don't come with us. He's not working at the moment. Bullshit. What, your cousin.
Trouble at mill. You want him working down at the mill?
It's just so bad how people are so desperate to write articles about this stuff.
Yes, but that's also, that's the state of our media. You know, in their
horrific.
They are so bad at what they do. I am always amused. I don't know if you saw what happened on News 24 this week. I mean, not on their site, but with them. So one of the guys, Peter DeToyo, whoever went on a show on CakeNet, he was bitching about how this guy called Twitter Boss, who's been tweeting a storm up about, you know, Trump and Afrikaners being allowed to go in as refugees into America, and, you know, all the noise that's ensued here in South Africa as a result of that. Anyway, this guy, he's just an ordinary citizen, and he's allowed to have a point of view. News 24 basically out him. They publish his details, his real name. I think they publish where he lives. A whole lot of shit that they should not be doing to ordinary citizens. It's one thing to publish the information about criminals or about politicians, public figures.
Crime information,
not some ordinary citizen who has an opinion. Anyway, they stand their ground. I've noticed, by the way, they've taken down all those articles, which could be a canary in the coal mine for the fact that they think that they might be held legally responsible for this. I certainly hope so, and I hope that whoever this Twitter boss guy is, that he goes after them, because they should be gone after. However, this Peter DeToy guy goes on TV, and he says, this guy's spreading disinformation. You know, whenever someone in the media appeals to authority by saying, this is a known and qualified journalist, or they studied with me at Rhodes while we were drinking professionally, or whatever, you know that they've got nothing. They're out of ammo, right? The other thing that they do is they call everyone who they don't like disinformation.
Yeah.
They can't say, it's not true because. They go, it's disinformation. They don't ever give you an explanation. They don't often go into the detail because they also know that they lose the audience then. Most people go, what is this guy talking about? This is so dreary. But basically, they call you a disinformation agent when they don't have a better argument. So they were doing this about this guy. And he says, look, he holds up this paper. He's like, where does he get this information? This is disinformation. Turns out the thing he was pointing at was a chart, a graph published on News 24, So they look like complete fucking idiots. But
they are beyond parody now, those pricks, and they have been for really quite some time.
And, you know, if it isn't them, it's IOL. If it isn't them, it's ENCA. They're all in the same. They all have got about as much credibility as if my dog Alice suddenly started publishing a blog. In fact, my dog Alice's blog would probably get more people reading it, interacting with it, engaging with it, and finding it amusing, interesting, informative, and useful than anything that comes out of those mainstream media organizations. It's a disgrace. And people have got it. You've got to. Please listen to me. Unsubscribe. First of all, you'll save yourself some money. We'll talk about money just now with our next guest. Save yourself some money, which in a tough economy you want to do. Why would you pay for that nonsense?
It's weird, but I mean, there's...
This is coming from someone who paid their TV license. I should know about wasting money.
Just stop bragging about that, though.
I don't want to brag about it, but someone's going to bring it up. So don't waste your money. Second thing is, you're getting no value for it, even if, let's say, you were paying and you thought, well, I'll learn something about the world. You don't need it. You can follow 50 people on X like I do, and you will get a much broader, deeper range of global, local, and international news that you don't have to pay for. It's there, and these people, they're proper journalists,
Gareth,
over the world doing
excellent work.
What
they're going to say is that approach will open you up to disinformation.
Ah, yeah, you see. That's exactly why you should ignore them.
It's funny, like, because, you know, I got into the whole internet realm when blogs started, and I used to make money out of a blog, and I understand advertising, all that kind of space. I look at websites now, and they're all horrendous, as in there is an ad for every 5 centimeters of screen time, basically.
Yeah.
I know this once a week because James asked me for stories.
But let me ask you this.
All these websites are horrible.
Who are the people who are selling that advertising? And who are the clients? I mean, like, really what we should do is we should mock and ridicule anyone who advertises there, because they're choosing to associate. You know, sometimes people won't advertise with us or won't sponsor something because they go, oh, you know, Gareth Cliff's got very dangerous political beliefs, like being honest, telling the truth.
Joining the dots.
Yeah, and not giving in to cancel culture makes me dangerous. But there are actual news organizations, well, they're ridiculous organizations masquerading as news ones. And people think it's okay. You know, corporate South Africa is perfectly okay to back that nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Look, it's also a safe metric because you go, okay, well, we're on this website and they get 60,000 impressions a day, blah, blah, blah.
It's safe, but it should be embarrassing. It's like those guys celebrating Hitler's birthday at a pub in England. They should be embarrassed. There should be shame associated with these things.
And just like politicians who celebrated the VAT increase, there should be shame with these things.
I'm going to say this because this is just breaking now. The British High Commission has apologized for failing to process Julius Malema's visa on time. So the British High Commission in South Africa has apologized to Julius Malema for failing to process his visa application in time for a planned trip to the United Kingdom. He was scheduled to speak at the Cambridge Africa Together conference. By the way, you guys are going to get better guests for that. Talk about shit. On the 10th of May, he was stopped just hours before his flight. The delay has ignited a firestorm of criticism from Malema and the EFF, who call it a Malema is the EFF. There's no one else left in the EFF. You don't have to say that. Who wrote this? centralnews.co.za. Shame on you, too. You don't have to say criticism from Malema and the EFF. Dalimpov was gone. Floyd Shivambu's gone. Buyisen Ndlozi's gone. It's just basically Julius. Just say Julius. There isn't really anything else going on there. It's like a couple of people who wear red in Parliament. But I think they change on a weekly basis, too. So we don't have to... I'm just fact-checking your disinformation, really, if you think about it that way. AfriForum has cheered the outcome, linking it to the ongoing campaign against Malema. Well, they're not campaigning against Malema. They just want him to stop saying kill the Boer, which I think would be quite reasonable.
Mm.
You know, it's like we don't really want people saying F the Jews in barstool sports venues in America. Dave Portnoy was very funny. The first thing he did was he said, I will give this guy a one-way ticket to go and visit Auschwitz But then he changed his mind. And then this guy got up all upset. He's like, you promised me a free trip. He must be an idiot.
A complete idiot.
Okay, as if the F the Jews thing didn't prove to you he was an idiot. This proves even more that he's an idiot. And no doubt also some kind of illegal immigrant. There was a protest at Columbia University yesterday. In fact, no, it wasn't yesterday. It was on the Israel Independence Day. Great day to, like, scream about the destruction of Israel. Anyway, these guys were protesting, and the Trump administration has basically said, we're going to check the visas of all these, because a lot of them are international students, right? They want to use an American university. They want to go there and get an American university degree. But they actually hate America. They hate everything that America stands for, free speech.
While needing them.
You know, all of that stuff. So the Trump administration and Marco Rubio, who's the Secretary of State, have said, we'll just check out your visas quickly and make sure that you're actually meant to be here. Because you're a guest. Imagine if I went into your house and I started pissing on your furniture. What would you do? Because they vandalized stuff, by the way. They didn't just they didn't just scream and shout, wear their kefirs, wear the masks. They always wear the masks as well. You know, because why would you hide your face? I wonder. Why would you vandalize things and then hide your face? These are trashy people. They really are just the lowest of the low. They should be deported. There's no reason why you have to suffer people peeing on your furniture when you invite them into your house. You say, come on, come all. I open up our universities, the greatest universities in the world. People come here from everywhere to study. You know, and then we allow them in and they vandalize the library that they were in. They set up tentifadas on the lawn. This is not how guests in your house should behave. So you know what you do with guests like that? You physically remove them and you never allow them back in. That's what should happen.
Okay.
Listen, I would do that in my house. You'd do it in yours.
Like, people always forget that. Like,
well, they've got no manners. They were raised badly in shitty third world places where they were never taught the basic rules of engagement.
Don't bring your shit here.
Yeah, you're not allowed to do it. You can't do that.
The house analogy is spot on. And people just forget that America has actually its own rights to do that.
Yeah.
And then they're always just seen as like, oh, they're being such like horrible people. No, it's like, look after their shit.
All right, well, we could sit here and talk about popes and Justin Bieber and Hitler's 136th birthday and News 24, all of which are related, by the way. We proved it this morning. 4 hours, but we have to take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to introduce you to a special guest this morning. It's Friday, so I hope you're ready for a good weekend. Woohoo!